Blog Talk Radio.
Yo.
Oh, what's up, Red?
What's good, Brother B?
Not much. Just...
How you be?
Feeling real relaxed right now. Chilling. What's going on, everyone? Greetings and salutations to the Big Red and Brother B, the Minion. On Blog Talk Radio, what's good? How you doing?
Good, everybody. And what's good, everybody?
Yeah, what's good, Lady T?
What's good,
Lady T?
What's going on, y'all?
You gotta give it a drum roll.
Gotta do the clap.
The clap.
Oh my goodness, that's so silly.
Clap on. How y'all doing?
I'm all right. How you guys?
Okay. Just trying to say Rona free.
I did it wrong. So real quick before we jump into this. So I made burgers last night, right? And you know how sometimes you make food? Because you know, I've had a craving for like a hamburger. I don't eat beef like that. But I just had a craving for a burger. So... You know, we went to the store earlier, so I got the turkey and the beef, so I made a burger. It's a burger.
Uh-huh.
And you know how sometimes you make something that tastes better the next day?
Uh-huh.
No, man. Oh, yeah, I went in. I should be ashamed of myself.
Yeah, that's the trick. That's the trick.
You know, especially with the potato bread.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the potato.
I hate potato bread.
I love potato bread. I mean, I don't use it all the time, but I like it. I like it with hot dogs. Yeah, potato bread is the bomb.
I try to avoid, like, anything other than wheat bread, and I try not to have too much wheat bread, period. But, yo, that the burger thing was calling me. And it was calling me for weeks, and I just kept, like, hitting, like, the reject button. But the burger thing just kept calling, and I just had to answer it. And man, now 2 days in a row, so I'm done with meat until probably sometime in June. Man, I'll fall back. I can't be doing it like that.
Oh, 4th of July.
Well, I ain't getting no barbecue. I'm going to. I ain't going to barbecue. You going to barbecue? I'm gonna look at it on Channel 11 how they used to do with the Yule log. I ain't watching.
Oh, Yule log.
The Yule log is the Christmas.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my
God. Yeah, the Christmas thing. Yeah, I just let's see Bob on Channel 11. Yeah, I'm not messing with that. Nah. So once again, glad all is well with everyone on right now. Hope all is well with everyone out there in the world. You know, despite everything that's going on right now, we just got to keep it positive. Positive is key. For the men,
yes, it is.
Calling numbers 347-324-3395. And tonight's topic, what has become of the current state of hip-hop? And is it still alive?
Lord.
But before we get started, I got to give a shout-out to my man, Phil, in Queensbridge.
Yeah.
He's still falling down, doing his thing, you know, on the MC circuit. I appreciate you, brother. You know, from a place where I was trained. Like I don't care what anybody says, but for me being the person that was actually out there and in it, like Queensbridge was like that training ground. For me at least. That a lot of hungry cats out there and I mean, yeah, I give shout outs to, you know, other boroughs, but yo, Queens and Queensbridge has, you know, some real thoroughbreds, especially, you know, back in some days, a lot of talent came out of the borough of Queensbridge, you know, in terms of music, especially hip hop. And, you know, definitely got to pay homage, respect, you know, especially, you know, my man Haas from Old School Ball, the dude that actually was responsible for me becoming an MC, you know, passed away 2 months ago, man. You know, gone, but you'll never be forgotten, brother. But yeah, man, it's a real different scene now, and I don't even know what to call it. So
right,
somebody else can take it away if they want.
Well, right, I'll just say this, that you know, another, you know, me being a, you know, growing up in that, and you know, the, you know, I guess when rap really started, hip hop started maybe late 70s into the 80s, and you know, I'm the 80s era, I'm the 80s 90s era of hip hop. And you know, I was explaining to one of my son's friends, the young, you know, this young, these later 90 babies, that you know, our, you know, the rap that we listened to was uplifting. It was positive.
Consciousness.
Not only that, but it's like, you know, most of it was like about partying, having fun. They talked about drinking liquor and, you know, smoking, they, you know, little stuff, but it was more drinking liquor, like, you know, OE and all that other stuff. And it was more like uplifting, it was fun, party oriented songs. But it was fun,
no.
And you know, I explained to now this, you know, like it's changed. Like the music that these young people listen to now is just, everything sounds the same. Everybody sounds the same. It's depressing. The rappers that we came up with, yeah, it's like they can say what they had to say without profanity. And if it was something profane, the most you heard was maybe hell, damn, maybe a shit here or there. But guess what? They blocked that out. Now, every other word that comes out their mouth, and it's just crazy now. Everything is effing this.
That's the whole song.
That's the whole song. Everything's angry, 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 and I shot this, and I did this, and the girls slapped the ass, and it's like, come on, like, how many, like... how many times you going to talk about the same thing, and in each record, song you talking about the same thing over and over again? Now there's some songs that I can rock with that I listen to, you know, some of them I rock with because some of it is like the beat, you know, like the beat is cool, or they're actually saying something. Like there's a young man named Polo G. I like him because you can actually understand what he's saying. I like him. But some of these other ones, it's just like, what the hell are you saying? And then everything they talk about is, you know, it's not talking about drinking no more. They're talking more smoking and popping pills. That's all they talk about. Oh, I smoked this and smoked that and popped this and popped that. And I gave her this and her drinking it. Bro, you talking about, like, are you kidding me? Like, y'all talking about that like that's supposed to happen. That ain't normal. You ain't gonna put nothing in nobody's drink. So, to me, this, you know, the state of hip hop is just, I feel, now there's another, like a question. Well, Lady T, you can take it. It's a question I want to pose, but Lady T, you can also, you know, state your, whatever you want to say. I'll say my question.
Well, for me, the first hip hop song I heard was Pete Rock and CL Smooth Reminisce. I remember growing up in that era. And, you know, that's the first song I heard. And everything was more about poetry, the melody, the music, depending on where you're from, let's say New Orleans, it was about the beat and so forth. And let's say California, funkadelic music within hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
It was all creativity. It was all art. It was all poetry. It was all about storytelling. You could even go into NWA time. It was all about Black Power, Public Enemy, you know what I mean? They had a purpose
right.
for what they were singing about, pretty much.
Right.
Whereas now with this new generation, yes, they are creative. I can't you know, say, okay, you can't understand certain things, because me, I like, you know, Los Angeles rappers. My favorite artist ever is Snoop Dogg and Tupac, period.
Okay.
So it's like, as far as, let's say, group like the Migos, people say, okay, this is mumble rap. It's really not. You can really understand it. But what's sad is now I feel like record labels themselves are not doing what they used to do back in the day, where, let's say, you bring something, it's too explicit. They don't want to put that out because of the image that it'll bring to their label. Now they put it out. It's okay to be like Kodak Black and you're drunk and you're on pills and you're talking about popping mollies and being on lean and so forth. You know, Lil Wayne used to do that and all his songs, but how long can you do that? And he's very artistic outside of hip-hop with skateboarding and, you know, other things like that. So it's like, when are you guys going to clean up your image? You're only 20. But the question that I want to ask is, why are these record labels creating artists like Tekashi 6ix9ine, let's say, who's a clown in all aspects? They allow you to color your hair and come in and you're going to portray this image. This probably wasn't you to begin with, but it's going to make those records sell. So right now it's about record selling versus the art. A lot of old school artists I grew up with and know personally, like people like Special Ed and Rampage and Chi Ali and them, physically know these guys. And they still, you would think they're not in the game with it, but they really are. Whether they're behind the scenes producing certain things and so forth, or having their own artists that's coming out. And when they have those kind of artists, these artists are not with the image of, I'm going to do drugs, I'm going to pop Molly. That's not what they sing about. These are true poetic lyricists that they're putting out there. So to me, it's also the structure of who's producing, who's managing, and who's behind these record labels, because these record labels seem like they want to get rich quick, no different than a drug game. So they're going to create these artists. This is the look. This is what these kids that are, I don't know, in junior high school to college want to see right now. And that's what they want to bop to. So we could get this money off of it. It's more marketing than music right now.
Right. 6947. You want to go to the
interview?
What's up? 6947.
Hello.
Can you hear you, buddy?
All right, can you hear me now?
Oh, no.
Wait.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello.
Hey.
Hello, hi, guys.
Hi.
I was like 10 minutes into talking.
Damn. You have a technical difficulty. You put that wine down. Put that wine.
I forgot to take myself off of mute.
Oh, look at you, see?
You
put yourself on mute. You turn somebody out. Shut up. Oh, you put this on mute. Or you were singing one of those dirty ass rap songs. No, you stop.
Oh yeah, yeah. I caught like the last minute and a half because I actually tuned in late. But I was gonna say I'm in my 40s. I'm mid 40s, and our parents are going through the same thing. You know what I mean? For us, it was like Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, all of them, they would look down at it. They didn't want us listening to it. The lyrics were bad during that time. Now we have a whole nother level. I have my son's going to be 21 next month. The stuff that comes out of his iPhones and his, I can't stand it. I can't stand the lyrics, but I like the beat.
Right.
And
Well, check this out. All right, so I've been doing some research, and you know, the certain I can't remember the names right now, but there was one woman, and I believe it was in the 40s or 50s, and she was singing, but kind of like rapping. But yo, it was raunchy. Like, I thought maybe, like, she was typically a version of, like, a Luke or an NWA. And before this show was up, I'm going to look up her name. because, yo, I listened to some of her music, and I was like, yo, geez, she was wilding. Like, you wouldn't think for that era that somebody would be talking like that. But, see, we can say what we want about certain things. I mean, like, the music now, I really just can't do it because, to me, there's no art behind it. There's no creativity right. behind it. And being coming from where I've come from, these are not MCs. These are not MCs. Like, I respect MCs. You know, the Black Thought, you know, the CL Smooths, the Rakims, the Big Daddy King. Like, I respect MCs. There's a whole lot, but, you know, I respect MCs. But when you come on the mic as clowns, that's what I can't rock with. Because I remember back in the days when we used to do what was called the cypher. And you got a bunch of dudes in a circle, and everybody's, you know, spitting. And if you couldn't hold your own in the cypher, that was your ass. But cats took it serious. Like, I remember one time, it was a big-ass cypher on West Wall Street. And, one dude started talking that, like, Biggie stuff, and somebody got mad and shit. Yo, shut that shit up. You don't live like that. Stop lying. Yo, some cat, like, you couldn't, remember back in the days, you couldn't talk it if you didn't live. Mm-hmm.
You couldn't talk if you weren't right, absolutely.
And if you was talking something that you wasn't living, either you got tested or it was a fight. Sometimes it was a fight because people was taking hip-hop and the lyrics that serious, like, you couldn't be a faker. Now,
mm-hmm.
You could be a $3 bill, and they were like, "Oh, we'll take it. No problem. We'll believe it." You know what I'm saying? You got people who are ghostwriters. Now, I'm not knocking you by hustle, but you're not an MC. If you don't write your own shit, I don't care what anybody says. You're not an MC. That's like Langston Hughes being saying he's an author, but somebody else is writing stuff. No, you're not an author. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You're not an MC if you don't, because how could you call yourself an MC yet you're reciting somebody else's work that came from
you know
them.
Why, Brother
so
B? Because sometimes those
What's
people
up?
Who, Brother B, sometimes those people that are ghostwriters don't feel like being in that spotlight. I've ghostwritten poetry lyrics for someone before due to the fact that I didn't feel like being in the spotlight. So I wrote something for them. I wasn't ready for the spotlight. You know what I mean? So a lot of ghostwriters, they don't want to be in that spotlight. They don't want that life.
And you know what? I feel you on that. But to me, rhyming was a totally different thing because it was a street view. If from how you were living and what you were doing, like you were basically the reporter for the conditions you were living in, for whatever you were going through, whether it's police brutality, you know, poverty, whatever. So you had a lot of people that weren't living in poverty, but that was kicking somebody else's lyrics. See, and like I said, I get where you're coming from on that note with that, but when it came down to the MCing thing, like I said, Cats in the Street took it a whole lot more different because you were talking about dudes who were actually, you know, living it.
Living that life, exactly.
Yeah, they were really about that life. And a lot of them didn't appreciate somebody coming along and trying to copycat their lifestyle and put it out in music and make money off of it. Because that's what's going on now. And real quick.
That little
turd that looked like the bag of Skittles, he's a mole. He's an infiltrator. Somebody in law enforcement said, listen, we need to put somebody in here, do this and that, and make a mockery of what these Negroes do. That's how I take it.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how I take it. So they put somebody in here. He's an appropriator. Because you know what? What I find interesting, you can't knock Jay for shit. You can't knock Rakim for shit. I won't knock Eminem. But how is it that Eminem will sell more records than a Rakim or Jay Z? I do that. Why? Because
it's called marketing.
Of course he has the edge. Either marketing or something else.
Marketing or the new Vanilla Ice.
Exactly.
Wait, let me tell you something. Now, you can't even put him in. You know what, to me, and I'm going to say this, I wouldn't even put Eminem in that category. He is a total different monster than Vanilla Ice. Vanilla Ice.
No, of course. No,
was,
no. Same.
That
oh,
was
no,
a
no,
joke.
No, no,
to me,
no, you
to
know
me
what
Vanilla
mean.
Ice.
Okay.
Wait, Vanilla Ice was a joke like 6ix9ine.
Nah.
That's how I look at it. I feel that
nah,
Vanilla
nah,
Ice
nah.
is like
Ice, Ice
6ix9ine.
Baby, come on.
Nah.
Stop.
No, I mean,
Vanilla,
I know, but guess what? He got sued. Guess what? He got sued for that. For using
oh, my gosh.
That,
I could do a Running Man
for using that.
Vanilla Ice.
No, it's kind of rap.
But
Red,
with Eminem
and
Vanilla Ice, I'm saying he's the new age. He was the next white rapper that you could name after Vanilla Ice. Who else can you name? And the way he came out with his whole story based on his life, then with the beat going in on that. Come on.
Nah.
Oh, yeah, well,
nah.
Well,
nope.
Eminem,
I respect
like I said,
the Beastie Boys. I like the Beastie Boys better than that. Nah, hell.
I love
Vanilla,
the Beastie Boys
too, but... I love the beat.
Was he nah, yo, listen, I was doing the Running Man to Vanilla Ice in sixth grade. Don't play with me.
Listen, I couldn't take yo, we was getting well and when I was by that well, you was in sixth grade, I was what was I guess I was about 16, something like that. We was joking. I'm looking at this because he was up there in the category
with the hammer. Oh my gosh.
I'm not gonna take anything away from, like I said, Eminem. I mean, he's an MC. I give it to him. But see, when you want to take it back to how the record labels and the A&R people, see, of course, they're going to focus more on him because he was like the great white hope. And somebody like Eminem doesn't see it that way. He just wants to do what he does. But the record labels, and you know, Dre knew it, 50 Cent knew it, everybody knows it, that of course they're going to push him because they needed the Great White Hope. Just like, you know, they needed this copycat to Jackson 5, how many times? With Backstreet Boys, you know, they needed that to keep copycat
on the
that
block.
Whole boy band thing. Yeah, exactly. But they needed their version. Because there's always going to be another version to what we do. They're always going to make their version. So I guess their version of Jay-Z is Eminem. You know what I'm saying?
Don't even do it.
I mean, no, I'm just saying.
Don't make the song cry. Don't make the song cry right now, please.
No. Never that. But, you know, like I said.
I like drug dealing Jay-Z.
Yeah, right?
Well, I mean, listen. You know, Reasonable Doubt will always be. Like, that is classic. Like, you can't, there's nothing you can say about Reasonable Doubt.
Exactly.
Nothing. There's nothing you can say about that album. But you know what is crazy? No one is trying to make anything like that. And if they are, of course, the industry, well, what's left of it, but they're not trying to put that type of music out because they feel that's not what sells. It has to be, if you're not talking about popping pills, or you're not talking about getting drunk or fighting or shooting, they don't want to hear nothing else. Or you ain't calling them bees and hoes. They don't want to hear nothing else.
Because it's not marketable now. It's about marketing.
Yeah,
marketing,
exactly. That's
and getting,
all that, yeah.
Making, getting your label up and running real quick. It's all about marketing.
So the problem's really us, because if we're willing to buy it, they're going to put it out there.
Yep,
if everyone says, I'm not buying this garbage, they're not going to create it, because they don't create it for their own. You know,
no, they don't.
I was going to say, if you look at Drake, they have him crossing markets because he looks a certain way, but he sounds a different way. So
he's one of the good ones.
You know what it is?
That's why, oh, my son
is right now.
So, and he can say this, that, and the other. You know, he says nigger, but it doesn't matter when he say it.
Right.
Well, he's half black, so he gets
because
the pass.
You know
he gets
it's
the
like,
Negro pass.
Because you got to remember something about the record labels. The record labels are all under one wide corporate umbrella.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's only like three majors. There's only like three that are actually left. It used to be like a big six. Now I think it's like either three or two that are left. But
and even those two that are left
that
are
is,
within the new labels.
Yeah, exactly. And the sad part is, you know, they're always going to keep pushing that. Because, see, you know, of course, But Drake is half Jewish. So, you know, of course, they got to make sure he's half Jewish.
You know,
you've never heard Eminem say to use the N word. You never heard Eminem use it. You never heard Everlast use it. You know what I'm saying? Everlast, I give much props to Everlast. But you never heard Everlast use it. You know what I'm saying? So,
Everlast, the Beastie Boys, Third Base. I mean,
you never heard
The other day was a group of us talking about the change in rap and what hip hop was really like for us growing up. And I could say that I'm proud to say that I grew up in a time when rap was an art. You know, it was an art of words and stuff. You know, it was original. It wasn't no fake or anything like that. And
it was from the heart.
It was from the heart, because even from the times that I could remember, as far back as I can remember, from Curtis Blow, Run DMC, dudes like Houdini, UTFO, guys like Eric B and Rakim, you know, even up to the days of the Juice Crew, when Big Daddy Kane first came on the scene, when Biz Markie and all the other rappers that came on after that, even the battles between MC Shan and KRS-One, it was the reality of it. And even when the conscious rap came out, when groups like Public Enemy and X-Clan came on the scene, you know, it was all about the positivity. But now these days, you don't have, like, I can't say that
there's no balance.
It could be my opinion. It's not happening, because you know what? Rap is not from the heart, because everybody sounds the same. There's no originality. The only cats that I could listen to are the underground cats, and they have more of a skill than these guys out here.
And they're hungry for it.
Yeah, they're hungry for it. They come out there and they're rapping.
Yep.
Because see, that's
they're hungry for it.
It's from the heart. That's why they continue to do it. It's from the heart. It's not about the money. You know what I'm saying? Because you know what? There was a lot of times where there was dudes out there, once again, ciphering when it was okay to drink beer outside and stand in front of the store, and everybody was
rhyming.
They wasn't doing it. They weren't doing it for money. Yeah, exactly. They wasn't doing it for money. They was doing it for, like, yo, this is how I get down. Oh, well, yeah, well, this is how I get down. That's the male bravado right there. I mean, yo.
And even the females.
Like, it was nothing like going in the lunchroom and getting that base off the middle of the table.
You know where the transition shifted right now? It's not so much behind the lyrics. It's more behind the beats. The beats are hot. The producers are getting on.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if you spit in corny bars right now, but the producers are getting paid for those beats. I have a friend that's a producer that did One Blood for Game. And all he does is make beats now for these young cats. And it's like his whole thing is like they can't even rhyme, but it just sells. They're selling with, because of the – they're doing it for the beats, though. They don't have to say nothing much in their lyrics anymore.
No, but they don't. It's the beat.
But that's what the record labels are buying into, the producers now. So the producers are getting paid. It kind of transitioned from where it was the rappers, because I grew up in an era – my parents are like – 18 years younger than older than me and 20 years older than me. And when Deep Cover came out, that's all my father used to play, Dr. Dre. So my mom used to hate that. Yeah, and she used to say it's too much cursing. And then I'm listening to what they say now, even the female artists, and it's more raunchy. It's really, really crazy. So it's like, I don't know. now I think it's transition from lyricists
to females.
You know another thing? They don't. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was finished, right?
No, I was saying, you know another thing? They don't. You know what I don't like? Like, I listen to, I've been listening to, like, all the DJs, like DJ MOS, D-Nice, DJ Scratch, you know. You know what I noticed that a lot of these, like, these rappers don't use? They don't use no goddamn samples. Yo, I hear the samples, like the samples make you hype. Like, this is what I told my oldest son. I said, yo, because he just admitted to me the other, well, not that he didn't like the music that I listened to, but he's like, yo, mom. He said, yo, your music, y'all music from the 80s and the 90s, he's like, yo, it's hot. He's like, I feel good when I listen to it. He's like, yo, y'all music is hot. I said, I told you. I said, because our music was about fun. I said, plus, it was samples.
It was
all, right, it was all, like, if you listen, I told you, listen, I said, a lot of those old songs that I play in the house or play when you was living here, I said, guess what? You hear it in those songs. I said, and that's what made us hype, because it's like, because I get hyped now, like some of the DJs, they'll play the sample that was used in a certain song, and guess what? When they're playing that sample, the song, whatever rap song that was used, it's in my head already, and I'm like, okay, he going to play that. Guess what? He put it right on. I'm like, oh, that's my deal.
Yes.
So it makes you hype, and that's what I said. These rappers, don't, just like Lady C said, all they do is have a producer sit there, throw that beat, let me see if you can rap to this beat. Oh, okay,
exactly.
That sounds good. You know, and that's it. Nah, you got to be more creative. Use samples. Like, I tell my younger son, and he's good at what he do. He has his little rap thing, and I heard one of his songs, and he's good, and I told him, yo, listen to some of these old songs that I listen to, and
hell yeah.
Right, you might want to use a sample, even a piece of that song. I said, don't sell yourself short, because guess what? Somebody else will do that, take that same sample that I already told you to use, and guess what? They making money off of that, and you're going to be like, damn, I could have did that. Yeah, because I
told
you
that. As a matter of fact, Big Red, I'm glad you mentioned about the samples, because for those of, you know, there were times that rap music, they used a lot of samples, whether they were sampling James Brown, whether they were sampling Parliament, even, you know who else really broke the mold? When Gangstar, when Gangstar came out with Manifest, what they did, they took it back. You know what they did? They took it from Charlie Parker and Miles Davis. They took a song from the 40s.
Tato, I just listened to that song yesterday.
Yep.
I just listened to that yesterday.
That was like some jazz. I love that song. They sampled from jazz, and that was the thing that a lot of people didn't realize, that Gangstar sampled from jazz as well as Tribe Called Quest. They took a couple of jazz beats, and they were like, they fusion rap.
But guys, in the late 90s, like 96 or so, they stopped them from sampling, record labels from sampling certain things. There's a good thing on Netflix that y'all should check out with hip hop. And they do it from the beginning of time and transition all the way into the 90s. And they show you after Dr. Dre and them when they did, is it The Chronic? After that, they weren't able to be doing samples. They put kind of like a restriction on that for record label sampling and things like, you should check it out. It's really good. Because I remember when Dre put out the instrumental to Chronic 2001, and a lot of that was his own beats. He didn't, do the funkadelic beats that they did on the Chronic, which was really
right.
Even that one with the instruments,
because in between, the thing was, when it came down to sampling, it was to a point where they only allowed you 3 seconds. Anything, 3 seconds were free.
Mm-hmm.
After 3 seconds, then you had to pay. And a lot of the original artists did not want their music being used
by anyone else.
They weren't getting paid, but some of them didn't want their music used at all. Like, I know one, there's people out there that wanted to sample Prince. You could not touch a
Prince
song.
Prince was not allowing any
of his music to be sampled at all. And there were other artists like that as well.
Because,
like, I think
James Brown
is one of the most sampled of
all time.
Oh, yeah.
And so is
James
Brown
the
George
most
Clinton
sampled of all time.
James Brown and George Clinton, because both of their beats, I mean, if you were from the West Coast, you heard a lot of George Clinton beats. And if you were from...
NWA used them all the time. That's what I'm saying. They used all of those samples all the time.
They used all of them. But over here, like, even when Big Daddy Kane would take James Brown samples, he would use a lot of James Brown stuff.
Who else
used to
use? What's his name? I think... Who else is that used to use a lot of James Brown samples? I think not Public Enemy. It was somebody else that used a lot of James Brown samples.
And so did
everybody.
I think
Stephasonic, Eric B. and Rakim.
Eric B. and Rakim.
There were a lot of breakbeats.
As a matter of fact, Queen
Latifah. Oh, I know who it was. BDP. BDP. Yeah.
BDP.
They used a little more than everybody else, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Even
wait a minute. Now, I found the name. Her name is Lucille Bogan. And she has a song called Shave 'em Dry. This was from 1948.
Yes.
The lyric. Raw. She.
You should hear one from 1929.
I had to hold this for a minute. I said, whoa.
Wasn't music about expressing your art, though? I mean, you know, I could say what I want.
Yeah.
I'm expressing it. Let
Brother
me get
B,
this
listen.
Out.
Oh, well,
you know?
Her art was pornographic.
Okay. I got poetry that I wrote that's pornographic. Listen, you were getting engulfed in that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brother B, you're talking about raunchy in 1948? You should hear one from way back in 1929. You want to talk about
I'm
raunchy?
Sure. But you know what's crazy? That's the thing, K-Dog. So we talk about these cats with their lyrics and stuff now. But it's always been around.
And
so
you
to
know
the
what
parents
else?
That were telling us about our music at that time, it's like, well,
yeah.
Wait a minute. What about that stuff that y'all was probably listening to? What about Dolomite? What about Riot? You know what I'm saying?
They ain't gonna say nothing about that. Yeah.
In fact,
exactly.
there was a rhythm and blues song that was recorded by Hank and the Midnighters back in 1954. It was called Work With Me, Annie, and the lyrics went, "Work with me, Annie. Let's get it while the getting is good. So good, so good. Ooh, oh, ooh, wee. Come on, Annie." You know, they took that.
What about that damn Clarence Carter? Let's talk about Clarence Carter. Clarence Carter.
Y'all want to talk about raunchy?
And my father used to play that, and they used to play that at the Mason dance.
Oh my goodness!
Carter.
Red Fox Records. As a matter of fact, if you go back into like 1952, this was the year before Eisenhower came into office in the 50s. Mm. Red Fox released his first parting record. Bill Cosby himself even described it and said that record was not put on shelves because he said he went to the store to say, "Oh, can I get the Red Fox record?" They had to go inside of a box to take the record. And when you brought it home, you're hearing some language that you never heard before. Because Cab Calloway, they talk about weed. Cab Calloway made a song called The Reefer Man. And Smoke talked about
Reefers. Oh, yeah, I know that song.
Yeah. Have you ever met the funny Reefer Man? He smokes a Reefer. He gets high. He takes it, and it goes all the way to the sky. So,
wow. but you notice the way they, like I said, the way they said things, it was, like I said, if you didn't know what they were talking about, you kind of did, but you didn't. That's the art, that's like you said, that's the art of it.
Exactly.
Where, even with the rappers of our time, if they was talking about a chick and talking about having sexual relations, like these dudes now, they say everything that they gonna do to that girl and what she done did to him and
exactly.
blah, 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 that. But see, back in our day, it was an art to it.
It was an art.
It was an art.
Y'all must have not listened to Doggy Style, because I don't know.
No. I know. We know that, but I'm talking about in the 80s, like in the 80s. Right, Luke, but see, you know, that started going, you know, like in the 90s or whatever, or late 80s or whatever. But I'm talking about, like, even Tribe Called Quest, when they were talking about doing something with a girl or one of them did something with a girl.
Bonita Applebaum,
like I said,
yeah, that.
Right, Bonita Apple, perfect. I'm glad you said
listen,
it's some
who,
art too.
Who brought the booty
because that
music?
Was like poetic, you know, poetic sexual seduction.
Right, right. It was an art too.
That was
Sherry,
a cool part of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Even Big Daddy Kane, listen to Big Daddy Kane when he talks about, when he was talking about women all getting with a woman, he was smooth operator.
LL Cool J, I need love. I thought he talked about me.
Wait, 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 wait,
girl,
now, wait,
wait,
wait, wait, wait, wait, wait, wait, you said
though.
I need love. Let's talk about, let's talk about big old, wait, let's talk about big old butt and swing an backseat of my Jeep,
but
okay?
But
it was all art to
you.
But it was all art to you. He didn't. He was talking about what he was doing to the girl, but not in a disgusting way to the point where he's you just using your imagination.
My booming system.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
well,
booming system.
So, Miss Sherry, I got homework for you. So when you get a chance, you go to YouTube and look up Lucille Bogan, Shave 'Em Dry. Olat. Oh, is that right there?
Brother B, I know
that's
what
right
you're talking about, brother.
There's
Lord
no,
have mercy.
There's no subliminal with that right there. She probably was the mother. If not, if that right there, that was straight, and she was straight NWA. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. That was 1948. She was straight in, like, she's saying stuff that would make cats on the West Coast blush. Like, oh, wow. It's like, wow. Oh, I like her. Like, yeah, she was straight raunchy. But my thing is,
I got a question,
listen,
Brother B, when you die. I got a question.
My parents weren't even born then.
That's what I'm saying. And that's how if somebody was putting it down like that. What's your question?
So now they, with you saying that with her, we have Megan Thee Stallion. I remember when she first came out, a lot of people didn't like her because of the
That's
things that
girl.
She was saying, but it's no different. Yeah, I like her. She laid the pimp game down, whatever the case may be, no different than a lot of these guys. But, you know, it's a difference or a double standard when a female says these things and a guy is like, not supposed to say that, but she's a lyricist or whatever you want to call her. And why can't she express her art through that? And just because you're
Ooh.
Saying that doesn't mean that you're like that, Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan Thee Stallion.
So
it's like,
because I know you're talking about the artist from the 40s being raunchy, but, you know, to guys, I'm saying this is what they said. She was raunchy, and when you listen to it, she's really not. They're kind of mad because she flipped the game on them, and she's talking like the guys would have spoke to us, but she's talking to the guys like, You get what I'm saying?
I'm not
like
knocking,
the roles reverse with that.
Yeah, listen, I'm not knocking anybody's hustle, you know, at all, especially female MCs, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I remember when the Brat came through hard. And,
yeah,
you know what I'm
Brat.
Saying? The Brat, MC Light will always be like,
oh, MC Light
my
was
top
more.
Five
MC Light was
Oh,
more.
My
mm-hmm.
God.
Straight up.
But my whole thing
Straight
is,
up.
I've always, and I remember the Boss from the West Coast. That chick
mm-hmm.
on the Boss. Like, even she was crazy with it. But my thing is, listen, I have me, it was never a double standard with me. But because, like I said, I used, you know, I was a writer. So, you know, I did the MC thing. There was no judgment with if you were a female. The only thing is, the main requirement is if you a female and you spit, it better be your work. That was
Absolutely.
And that was the rule for male and female, because there
was
women that there was chicks that climb up in the cipher, and as long as there was chicks spitting their own, especially when a chick came and spit in the cipher, and it was hot,
man,
you go, oh, that's hot. That yo, she got the utmost.
That's hot.
She got the utmost.
Because you know
but
that's
see,
why.
Megan Thee Stallion.
So, that's why.
See, the thing
that's
is,
why MC Light got. That's how MC Light was so well respected, because when
mm-hmm.
MC Light first
she's
came on the
ciphers,
scene,
yep.
She was hot. She was hard. Yeah. She let you know
yeah.
what's up.
But what's wrong with Megan Thee Stallion?
Meg Thee Stallion. See, the thing is, see, people don't realize she didn't just come out. I've seen her over, what was it, 2020? I've seen her back in 2016 or something, and I was
yeah,
looking
2016,
on Instagram.
When she made the freshman
yeah.
issue.
Mm-hmm. No, not even. I think it might have been that, but she was. I know I was looking on Instagram, and I clicked on a video, and it was a video of these dudes doing the cipher. Next thing you know, I see this chick, I said, whoa, who's that? And she was spitting. I was like, you know, nice looking girl and everything. But she was spitting her little bit, and she sounded good. And I was like, yo, she's good. You know, because that was at the time of that, whatever that chick, Nicki Minaj, And I, like I said, I never really subscribed to that girl. She was, annoying. So I never really subscribed to her. But then when I seen Meg Thee Stallion, I seen that video, I said, yo, that girl got lyrics. Yo, she got spitting. And guess what? She got a real body. Ain't nothing blowed up, but injected or nothing. Nice body, nice looking girl. She had her own hair. She, you know, she wears all that wigs and stuff now, but she didn't have no wig, no, none of that. Just natural looking, very pretty, nice looking girl, but she was spitting. And I was like, yo.
I mean, listen, look at Lauryn Hill. Look at Lauryn Hill.
Absolutely.
You have, remember, Lady of Rage.
She was in the Fugees.
Yeah, Lauryn Hill.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yo, this classic female rappers. Like, some of these chicks nowadays can't hold a candle to some of the ones from back in the day.
Right, because like, it's about the look. Much. Like with Nicki Minaj, that's what it was. It's about the Exactly. It was eye candy because guess what? She couldn't rap for shit and she still can't. She sounds horrible.
Yep.
But
well,
all of them, she got a big
let's
don't forget, Nicki came up behind, you know, with Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne started her off, you know, kind of gave her the spotlight, you know. So it's like she got put on like that.
Check this out. I got one better for you, Lady T. And correct me if I'm wrong. To me, it seems like Drake and Nicki Minaj were probably pop singers. They couldn't cut it like that, so then I guess they was rhyming. They started rhyming. Because you see Drake, his whole thing is singing. And the same thing with Nicki Minaj. Them are singers. Because Nicki Minaj can sing.
No,
it's marketing. The label's gonna market what can get money for them. So if you're not working as, you know, the pop singers, maybe we could flip it and do it as far as you rapping, and we'll put you down with everybody. Loves Wayne. We'll put you on with Wayne. Why not? Let's market this to another level.
I get it. But you know, to me, that's not hip hop.
It's bringing those checks in.
This is true. But you know what? To people that are true to the art form, like, once again, you know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. Money. But you know what? One thing that lasts longer than money is your respect. And you got to look at the KRS-One. You got to look at the Rakims. You got to look at the Big Daddy Kane. Like, listen, if you saw Big Daddy Kane in the supermarket, and I wish one of these young little motherfuckers, yo, go up to Kane, yo, I value. Kane will jump in anybody's ass.
He'll shame anybody,
So don't think it's just that easy because people like that, they did it to get the bread, but it wasn't about the bread. They was doing it. They was doing it when it wasn't even that much money into it. You know what I'm saying? Those are lyricists. Those are MCs right there, straight up and down. Now it's all about the money, and the whole thing is. Let's get real. These cats ain't getting money like that. What, you get a little advance from the record label, and then what happens after that?
We don't know
how
to manage
money. More money. You don't see no more money until you do a show and get paid or after royalties. And royalties don't come after until you pay back that advance from the record company and paid off what it took to make your album. So a lot of these cats will take the advancement, and instead of doing the right thing, they'll just go splurge and buy chains. They'll do this. They go. A lot of these cats, those homes they're renting. You know what I'm saying? It's all a fraud.
And all of them,
and
most of those rappers,
that's my issue
that.
With that.
Exactly. And they go to the bank and get that, like, the handful of cash and put it to their ear. Like, I mean, just a floss and what, a video to say, okay, I got money?
Yeah, it's stupid. It's stupid because you got other cats up here. Out here with the impression thinking they're getting bread like that. No, you're not. You know who's getting bread like that?
Right.
Master P.
Absolutely.
People like Master P.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
People like Jay who marketed himself in many other ways, they getting money like that.
Yeah,
you know
I was
these
watching
cats
with Kwame that happened. He was saying that the Kwame and the rapper. Yeah, he was like, that's what happened. Like, they was making all that money, and then the money was gone. But that's just like you said, because they get that little advance. They don't have anybody to really teach them or show them or tell them that, listen, you got to, this money ain't going to last. And the next thing you know, they was broke. He was like, he was sleeping at people's houses and,
you know, had to be begging for food and stuff like that. And this is Kwame, you know, with the mm-hmm. you know, the blonde hair and
the
all that other
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
we used to love
that
whole
little say that.
He started that whole
yeah.
little slope slash dye
yeah.
hair thing.
And the cuts in the eyebrow
and
all
and
of
the
that.
Polka dots. Yeah, the polka dots.
The polka dots.
Man, I was proud. Of, hey, I ain't got no shame in my game. I was wearing a flat top and polka dots.
Yeah,
and that's another
that.
Thing. Like,
what,
what's the end goal for some of these cats? Because if you look at the older artists right now, reading 50 Cent Hustle Harder book, and mm-hmm. you know he speaks on him how he started off and things like that. A lot of this stuff comes from childhood trauma, believe it or not. Even as I'm in the mix of writing my own stuff, I see mm-hmm. that a lot of things come from childhood and what you've done seen. And as you're getting older, what is your end goal though? I think that these cats that are rapping now need to really have an end goal, because if the industry was to shut down completely, what else can you do other than
right,
look at it right now?
Absolutely.
You understand what I'm saying? What investment
no
are you making?
You gotta have something else to back
well,
up
well,
on.
Well, check it out. How many cats get money now? You can't do no shows now. There ain't
mm-hmm.
no shows going on, and that's their bread and butter. That's a
mm-hmm.
lot of their bread and butter is being
well. You
on the
know
road
how a lot of them
and,
get their
money.
You know how
yeah,
a lot of them
then,
do that,
yeah,
do that.
Yeah,
they scamming,
but,
they scamming, or they trapping, or whatever.
And,
remember, that's what they say in their song, I'm trapping.
And look what happened.
Are they really
Chanel
trapping?
Boy
some of them
airport.
Are fronting.
Yeah,
some
of them
are
fronting, but yeah.
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 But look
right.
what happened to that little boy in the airport. What was his name?
Yeah.
I
don't know. The hell of a
the one that died. The one they searched his private.
I don't know.
It's like, some, listen.
Oh, when they searched, I forgot what that kid name was. It's so sad, yeah, and he died.
Yeah, it was sad.
Yeah,
and he threw back instead of, listen, you was going to jail anyway, Jack, no matter what. So I don't know why he did it, but he threw back all the pills at a seizure and
died.
Yeah. Another thing, Brother B, with you saying that, I know you guys remember Bobby Smurda and them, and I remember
yeah.
they used to tell them stop singing that stuff, but you know, I forgot if it was LaFace or whoever. I don't want to say the wrong person's name that owns the label. To me, when I saw the interview when they asked him, you know, are you going to bail them out? He was like, no. But my point, you can't even bail them out, but you was allowing them to rap and put that all that
exactly.
you know, incriminating music out. So that made me
yeah.
really look at the record label totally different as well. It's like, okay, the guys come, they sell their souls to you guys. They get into the problems, and you can't even, you know, put up for their bail. That was real, real deep. And to me, that should be a lesson learned. If you come into them and they need you, because they need these artists, the labels, you should be setting your standards to them. You understand what I'm saying? No, your soul is not for sale. These lyrics.
Some of them
are
don't have standards. Some of them
well,
don't
they need
have
to find standards.
To
yeah.
No time to put.
That's the problem.
You know, mm-hmm. and put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
No,
did
I said some of them don't have no common sense. I said some of them don't have any common sense. You going
yeah.
to admit to a crime
right.
and put it out there?
Yeah, that's
yeah right.
Record
label has their
jackass.
Money. They on to the next.
Yeah. Because you know what the whole thing there is, that, you know, the law enforcement are listening. They are listening, and there has been cases
yeah, exactly.
where
watching
cats have said something in their
like...
music. Yeah, and they use their music against them, and they said you said this. You said that, yeah, all right, they're locking you up. You're going to jail.
And they're so stupid because it's like, don't y'all, like, they watch, my thing is this, like, nowadays, like, with these younger generations, now there's a lot of movies out with like, the rappers, like I said, the rappers we grew up. Now think about the N.W.A. movie. They're letting y'all know, or they let y'all know, oh, they were all being watched. Especially when they mm-hmm. did F the Police, they were being watched.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
they
definitely
that.
Watched them
they
after
missed that.
That
part. They missed that part in the movie, I guess. They only watched
I guess
they
must
only
have.
Watched the violent scene. They only watched the shootout.
Well, they need to watch
yeah,
the
no
shootout
so
with Lauren. Watch CB4
no
and see what's
so
up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. not even a
like,
shootout.
Like,
if it's not shootouts or no car chases or nothing like that, they don't watch it.
Right. But my thing is all these, I mean, that's been happening for years with these, you know, rappers. They, like I said, they're going to watch them because they want to make sure that you're, I guess, going by certain standards or whatever. They don't want you to get on some militant type of stuff, or they don't want you to say
mm-hmm.
anything that's going to,
that's why there's no more
you know,
public enemy.
Uplift or whatever.
Public Enemy.
That's why
they
had to shut down the Public Enemies, the X-Clan. You know, they have to shut down all of these conscious groups because they're like, yo, too many people back in the days were on that conscious tip. They had to do something about that because the last thing they needed was unity through the music. They didn't want black unity, so they was like, yo, we got to shut this down. So, listen, I hate to say it, but Luke came with the booty music, shit started to change. Then N.W.A. came, it was a rap after, it was, that was it. Zip. I'm not knocking anybody else, but it helped. It really helped kind of rip up the fabric, you know, of the music. Because even though N.W.A. had a message, all people heard was Nicki with an attitude. They wasn't thinking about why you had an attitude. All they heard was Nicki with an attitude. And all they heard was F the police. And all they heard, they didn't think about why you were saying F the police. They just heard, oh, these guys don't like cops. Not why.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you guys.
You're anti-police.
You don't like it. Yeah.
They
don't think about.
They didn't care about that.
They didn't think about police brutality. They just thought about, oh, well, you know, why are you worrying about
cops?
They want to
kill cops.
You shoot each other every day. You know, that's the comparison. Like, you beefing about cops, but you guys kill each other every day. So, you know, what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? And we allowed that. That's the problem. We allowed that. Instead of being stronger in what we do, you know, we allowed this type of disrespect. We allowed our music to be controlled by someone else. You have some European dude sitting in an office somewhere saying, this is not edgy enough. There's not enough curse words in it. I need you to go back to the studio, put some more, and then bring it back. Meanwhile, his kids don't listen to that shit.
Right, absolutely.
Well, don't forget also, at one point, Brother B, our music almost got taken away from us. I couldn't understand why they kept calling, you know, Luke, the godfather of rap and so forth, when he went up against, you know, Tipper Gore and them, when they wanted to completely get rid of hip-hop. He wasn't having that because it was being controlled and, you know, going into other communities that it shouldn't have, quote unquote, been going into. But these white boys were listening to it. And now, hey, the families want to censor it. They're protesting to censor, you know, they went up against Congress with that and so forth. He went and all they did was now, hey, parental advisory stamp goes on it. And we keep our music. So certain things had a high to it and a low.
It's true.
Right.
This is true. Some rap song artists had to even make edited versions of their albums.
Yes, they did.
Edited versions. You had the dirty version and you had the clean version. Which cost a lot of money to labels. It cost a lot of money. So therefore, people who did a lot of cursing and all this other stuff, they became liabilities. It was like, you know, hey, you know, I understand you want to make this, but you're going to get this sticker on there. Because you're not going to keep doing all these edited versions for put two albums out. It's cost like how much more money, you know. But, you know, they say that, you know, there's still an underground market. I mean, you still got people out there doing it, you know, like the Most Defs, you know. And well, actually, I think Most Def kind of tired from the microphone.
Yeah,
really
I think he's doing any music anymore.
Yeah.
No.
But, you know, there's still an underground, you know, movement going on. And, you know, these guys, like I said, they still do it for the love of it, you know, as the way other casters do it to, you know, make some money and things of that nature. But I do, you know, before we go, I do have to say, you know, once again, and acknowledge, cause I heard an interview with the kid, and I liked him, man. I really did. Rest in peace to Pop Smoke, man. He wasn't even trying to, he was coming in doing what he was doing, but he made it clear. Hey, I may be doing something today, but I'm going to start doing something next week. You never know. And I appreciated that because he wasn't trying to stay in one spot. And I wish we had the chance to see him elevate. So with that being said, Big Red, Miss Cherry, K-Dog, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks.
Now go listen to some Coogee rap. Go listen to some Coogee rap.
Yeah, man. Oh, I'm going to be listening to that.
Good stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely.
I'm about to listen to D-Nice because I know he's going to be sending it in tonight.
Ice. Yeah, right. I'm going to be listening to the Road to the
Oh,
Vision.
My God. Yeah, go through the Running Man. Go through the Running Man.
To the Running Man.
Listen to some Beastie Boys. Hold it now.
Yeah,
damn
right.
It.
Yeah, Brass Monkeys. Y'all have a good
right.
night. Be safe. Go y'all
good
week.
Night, y'all. Be
hey,
safe.
Later, guys.
Right,
good
later,
night,
y'all.
Later,
y'all.
Peace out.
Hey.
Uh-oh. In the hell.
In the hell.